FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Financial Survival Network is brought to you today by Orin Resources, a junior exploration company with the appetite of a major. It's hot on the trail of the next globally significant discovery, creating enormous potential upside for you, the shareholder. Orin is one of the most aggressive exploration companies pursuing high-grade, scalable gold and copper deposits and has a premier seven-project portfolio, including its two flagships, Committee Bay in the Arctic and Sombrero in Peru. Orin's unparalleled technical team and highly experienced management has a history of success in advancing and monetizing exploration assets. No wonder Orin's been called one of the best in the junior exploration sector. Orin trades on the TSX and the NYSE under AUG. To learn more, go to orinresources.com. That's AURYNResources.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is March 14th, 2019. Well, gold prices taking a little bit of hit this morning. They're down $13.40 the ounce to right around $12.95 and a half, which to be expected. These little hit downs, smackdowns are going on regularly, but probably in a couple of days, it'll pop back up over 1300. No doubt we see economic trends in the U.S. definitely heading downward. U.S. home sales dropped 6.9% in January. That's just one indicator. They're very mixed, the economic indicators. So you need to keep your eye on precious metals. So, hey, what is going on with the market? Where are we heading? Let's hear your thoughts. Email me, kl@kerrylutz.com. Right now, we have an expert on the market. I'm talking about Andy Schechtman, milesfranklin.com. I've been buying from them for years. You shouldn't hesitate to either. Andy, welcome back on.
Kerry, good to hear your voice. Always great to be a part. Thank you.
Of course. So, hey, we're looking at these markets now. I mean, it seems that things are picking up, huh?
Things are picking up. The volatility is there still. It's frustrating for a lot of us who have been watching. It's similar performance or movement that we've seen really for the last, I don't know, decade plus, where it finds a round number that it makes an assault on. And the big banks really are defending a line in the sand at 1300 gold and, I don't know, I guess you could say 16 on silver. It keeps trying to break above. And when it does, it's trying to bust through previous resistance levels. And it's more of the same. But we've seen this for a very long time where it's one step forward, two steps back. Ultimately, it breaks through and it's later or longer than most of us like, and typically for different reasons. But nonetheless, yes, I think the market actually has been very, very robust. Business has been very strong. We're seeing people, I think, look past the price movements of precious metals, which are frustrating, and see the fundamentals. And the fundamentals are deteriorating, as you're mentioning, as are the peripherals. And so I are becoming far more interesting. And so I think there's a lot to talk about. And I think the big takeaway really, Kerry, for most people, and it's easy to say this when you sell precious metals, but I mean it in the bottom of my heart, man, and that is you have to ignore price. Price is the ultimate tool of misdirection. And if manipulation really is true, which I believe in my heart that it is, the only way that you can win is to ignore the price matches and to look at them as a subsidy. Ignore price, focus on fundamentals. And in the end, fundamentals and mathematics always win out. It doesn't make it any easier when you're suffering along the way watching the price move in a different direction than one would anticipate. But ultimately, Kerry, and we'll get into this, I think there are a lot of reasons to be optimistic for price appreciation. And sometimes in life, you'd have to have strong fingertips, be able to hang on, and you have to trust your gut. And most of us go through life saying, damn it, I knew I should have done that. Trust your gut now more than ever. And we can talk about the reasons for optimism and the fundamentals. But in general, I would say that it's been a strong market. It's been a little bit frustrating, but there are things to be looking forward to.
Hey, you know, talk about these markets not behaving necessarily rationally. We look at all these anomalies. I mean, let's just focus in on platinum right now. Platinum is trading at less than three quarters the price an ounce of gold. And it's been this way for years now. And is that the new normal, or is there something else going on here?
Well, you know, you could point to the industrial aspect of platinum. I look at platinum and palladium even more than platinum and gold, which is outlandish. I mean, most of my career, which goes back 30 years, gold was always priced more than platinum, sometimes double the cost. Like in 2008, I think it was nearly triple the cost. When you look at platinum and palladium, Kerry, they, for most of the last 30 years, 1 ounce of platinum would buy you 3, if not 4 ounces of palladium. Both metals' primary use is in catalytics. And somewhere in the late 90s, because it was the inverse of this, platinum was always so much more expensive than palladium, most of the auto manufacturers switched their assembly lines to use palladium in catalytics for unleaded automobiles instead of platinum. And in fact, I remember in the late 90s or early 2000, 2001, somewhere in there, Ford Motor Company, after changing the assembly lines, jumped in to the palladium market, probably not realizing what a large investment in a thinly traded market would do to secure their palladium. And it pushed the price up to pretty darn close where it is right now. It was, at the time, its all-time high. Platinum has always maintained its catalytic use in diesel automobiles. Right. And with Dieselgate and Volkswagen and the push to get diesel off the road, the catalytic uses of platinum and diesel are certainly on the wane. And so palladium, if for nothing else in terms of its industrial use and also its supply chain, which comes from Russia and South Africa, both of which are, you know, not the bastion of stability as it pertains to mining and international trade. So, you know, is it the new reality? I don't know. I think when we talk about an anomaly, that's exactly what platinum is right now. It is an anomaly in its relationship to gold and in its relationship to palladium. And I guess when I look back at my career, which, you know, 30 years, what sticks out is exploiting and identifying anomalies. And price anomalies that are mathematical in nature typically revert to the mean. It happens all the time. But, you know, this has been a lot longer than most people would have thought. In fact, I would have thought $200-$300 ago in palladium that it would be wise to trade your palladium to platinum, and I would have been wrong. Palladium has certainly had some legs, no question about it. But yes, there are anomalies, and I think platinum is amongst the most undervalued assets on the planet right now.
Yeah, and it's pretty simple. It costs some money, but you would think the automakers would go back to platinum because platinum is actually a better catalyst for tailpipe exhaust, for cleaning up the bad stuff in it, than is palladium. So you need less of it, and it's almost 50% the price. So you got to think.
You would think that that would back. Be on the horizon, no question about it.
They got to be contemplating it. Yeah, maybe I'll talk to some people in the auto industry who might be in the know about these things, because it's not like it's that big a cost factor in the production of an automobile might be a few hundred bucks. So they don't stay up late nights thinking about it. But on the other hand, this is a business, automobiles, where if they can save a dollar per car, even when people get killed as a result, you know, we don't really need that pin, that extra pin in the door lock to keep the door closed on impact. You know, we never get a horizontal impact and then people are dying. Or, hey, don't worry about the airbags. I just got a recall on my car. It tends to send out shrapnel when it explodes and it's killed 200 people around the world. You know, some Chinese or Japanese company who just said, don't worry about it. So
I suppose an elevated cost can make people cut corners, no question about it. And
yeah.
This concept of anomalies as well, Kerry, is pervasive in other areas in this market. You don't have to look any further than another white metal being silver. And, you know, you have J.P. Morgan amassing over 900 million ounces of physical silver. That's the single largest physical position the world has ever seen.
Yes.
And it's a crime that there's only one person besides myself beating the drum on this, and that is Ted Butler, who is the one who came up with all the information to begin with. When I speak at conferences, I swear I'm the only person talking about this, and I don't read it anywhere else. I don't hear about it anywhere else other than, you know, the information that Ted Butler has come up with, showing that they've literally cornered the physical silver market, accumulating almost 10 times what the Hunt brothers tried to acquire in 1980. They're amassing large swaths of mining shares in silver. The single largest position on the COMEX market. I think it's 1.6 million ounces or somewhere in that neighborhood of silver on the market. And then the rest of it has been accumulation in other nefarious ways, mostly, I would argue, through Maple Leaf and Eagle sales over the last decade. If you look at the mint numbers, they go off the chart from 2008 to 2016, 3 to 4 to 5 times what they normally were. And of course, also share conversion out of SLV and other nefarious ways that they're able to pull metal off the exchange in an undocumented fashion. But, you know, you don't have to look much further than this to realize that price is a tool of misdirection that has enabled the most sophisticated conglomerate of traders on the planet to control the physical supply of silver. People will say to me, well, what if they decide to dump it? And I will argue that they won't do that, because if you look at their trading record, they have made literally billions of dollars with what appears to be immunity, because the CFTC has never really done anything about it, despite having two investigations into the rigging of the silver market. We'll get back to that in a second. But they've been able to, according to Ted Butler, achieve a mathematic impossibility. And that mathematic impossibility is that since they inherited Bear Stearns' short position, which at the time was the largest short position the COMEX market had ever seen, they have done literally tens of thousands of trades. They have traded hundreds of millions of ounces of silver. And get this, Kerry, every single trade they have ever done has finished in the money. Every single trade. They have never had a losing trade, not one, in their short book. This is a mathematic impossibility, but they figured out a way to do it, unless they are rigging the game at the behest of someone.
Of Treasury, of the government. And why else would they be doing it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So you have the most sophisticated group of traders on the globe suppressing the price of a metal that is needed in industry and in warfare more than just about anything else, and accumulating enormous supplies of it without anybody talking about it. That type of manipulation has created opportunities. That anomaly won't last. And if you look at the way that it is in relation to gold, the ratio between gold and silver, roughly, let's call it 84-85 to 1. Actually, I haven't done the math the last few days I've been traveling, but last week it was around 84 to 1. Now, that's significant, Kerry, because if you go back 100 years, we've seen 85 to 1 ratio twice in the last 100 years. The last time we saw it, I think, was in 1993 for a brief amount of time. And the last time we saw an 80 to 1 ratio was in 2010. And within 1 year, It was 35-1. The average ratio going back five decades is roughly 45 or 50-1. So here's another anomaly, the relationship between gold and silver. The, you know, if you talk to someone like Keith Neumeier, who's in the know, he'll tell you that what's coming out of the ground is 9-1. So you have a depleted supply of silver. You have to dig further, go, you know, look farther, spend more money. I think the term is epithermal. I'm not positive, but epithermal, I think, is the term. And that means that silver deposits typically grow or are found, rather, close to the surface.
Correct.
So most of the big deposits have been found long ago. Keith Neumeier, the head of the CEO of First Majestic, says what's coming out of the ground is 9-1. The historic ratio is 16-1, geologically anyway. The ratio of the last 50 years on average is 45-50-1. And anytime you see 80-1 or better, it's a screaming opportunity to trade your gold and buy silver. And anything north of 80-1 is an anomaly, as much of an anomaly as it would be if you woke up this morning in Florida with 4 feet of snow on the ground. It's that.
That's an anomaly. That would be an anomaly, Andy.
It really is. And I say that to you with all sincerity. If you go back and look at a chart of gold to silver ratio over the last 100 years, it's screaming. It's screaming. Take your gold, trade it to silver, and not forever, maybe, but more realistically, when that ratio normalizes, you switch back to gold and double the amount of gold you started with. These are the type of opportunities and anomalies that we are seeing in the marketplace that I used to see once every few years, if that, one or two, maybe. Now we're seeing the anomalies in platinum, in palladium, in gold, and in silver, and into numismatic coins. The numismatic coins on the market side of things are priced at levels pretty much parallel with gold bullion. And in 30 years, I've never said that, where you can buy an MS-62 certified double eagle for roughly the same price as a gold eagle. In 2008, they were trading at 60%+ premiums to gold eagles. These are real anomalies and real opportunities that you don't have to spend money to take advantage of. You can trade gold eagles for MS-62 $20 gold pieces. You can trade your gold for silver. You can trade your palladium for platinum. You can take advantage of these anomalies that I swear to you, Carrie, as the Lord is my witness, over the last three decades, when I look at what has made me successful, it has always been at taking advantage of exploiting anomalies, and because mathematics in the end always win out. And I think this is another example of where you'll look back at these numbers a year or two from now and kick yourself if you didn't realize that this was maybe a once in a generation opportunity, at least as it pertains to silver. I think it's the buying opportunity of a generation. When you see silver priced below the cost of production, and only two silver mines on the planet are making any money at these levels, the rest are losing. To me, it's an opportunity to take advantage of it. And especially when you see the most sophisticated traders on the globe amassing the largest physical position the world has ever seen. These are all screaming opportunities that don't require you, if you already own precious metals, to write out a check to benefit your portfolio, to grow your portfolio, without spending a penny.
Hey, what about premiums on junk silver? Where are they at now?
When Obama was in office, premiums on junk silver went really high. And I don't know if people were afraid. I guess that was in the midst of the financial crisis. And premiums on junk silver were $4 or $5 an ounce over melt. And right now they're probably under $1 over melt. Here again, you know, the low prices over the last few years have created what I believe is capitulation in 2017 to the nth degree. When Bitcoin took off in 2017, supposedly cut from the same cloth that gold was, at least in terms of mentality and ideology, watching the stock market go to the moon and Bitcoin go to the moon really infuriated a lot of the gold and silver holders. And so much of
very frustrating.
And so much of that product was poured onto the market. And so you see low premiums in numismatics. You see low premiums in junk silver, which are more or less non-existent. And opportunities in product that, you know, trading at premiums I've never seen in my entire career as a result of it.
Mm-hmm. So interesting, very interesting anomalies. You wonder, are they the new normal? Well, eventually the price to gold ratio, the silver to gold ratio, gold to silver, however you want to phrase it, that thing like always asserts itself eventually, because there's only 10 parts or 12 parts silver found for every part of gold. And, you know, that old ratio that that we had in of 12 to 1 or 10 to 1 going back to colonial times hasn't been around for a long time. Will it ever reassert itself? Well, that's anybody's guess, but certainly it doesn't belong at 84 to 1. And you know, we're just going to have to see what happens here. Andy, where's the best place to find you these days?
We can be found at milesfranklin.com. I want to mention also, Carrie, and it's very important, this is a federally non-regulated industry. There's been a lot of companies that have gone out of business in the last few years. We're very proud of our reputation. We've been in business since 1989 and never received a customer complaint or a regulatory complaint. And above all of that, Minnesota is the only state in America that makes precious metals companies be licensed and bonded and background checked, whether they are reside in the state of Minnesota as we do or nationally and sell 1 ounce into the state of Minnesota. It is a level of regulation that no other state in America has to or requires people to abide by. And therefore, it is without question the safest state in the country to transact precious metals business in. Most of my competition has boycotted the state as a result of it. It is posting a surety bond and background checks of all employees and principals every single year is taxing, but it also lends to a great security for the consumer. We do publish a daily newsletter. My personal email is andy@milesfranklin.com. And I'm always happy to chat with people with no obligation. Our, I guess, in a world that is very homogenous, Carrie, our claim to fame, if you will, is being accessible and being accountable. And we do things the old-fashioned way. I have pulled off our online store, Carrie, because there's so much fraud in this industry. It's unbelievable. That's a topic for another show. But yes, if I told you some of the things that have gone on in this industry in terms of fraud and the sophistication of the hackers, it would blow your mind. I'm telling you, it's stuff right out of a Tom Clancy movie. I'm not joking. And it's crazy stuff. So we do things the old fashioned way because we prefer security. But we're always available, and accessibility and accountability is our strong point. And anyone who has any questions or would like to talk about these anomalies or explore opportunities can feel free to reach out to me at andy@milesfranklin.com, and I will always reply back within 24 hours.
Yeah, and you can always call me too. Send me an email, kl@carrylutz.com. I kind of have a certain amount of expertise on precious metals purchases. I've done a lot in the past and also know the players. Andy definitely is the best, and the licensing, which is a distinct negative, is actually a positive in this case for you, the consumer, for you, the purchaser of precious metals. No one else is regulated, and that requires bonds and all sorts of stuff like that, whole criminal background checks. I mean, if you want to put in a new bathroom in your office, they have to approve of that, right?
Yes, absolutely. 100%. That is correct.
Hire new people. Everybody's got to be screened. So there's no other precious metals dealer on the planet that is subjected to the degree of scrutiny as Miles Franklin. So you want to know more about it? Email me, kl@carrylutz.com, or email Andy direct. And hey, by the way, Twitter feed is @CarrieLutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network, and you're watching on YouTube or on a podcast channel, you're on iTunes, whatever, please subscribe, like, and share. Really helps me a lot when you do that. And it really helps get the message out. that you're just not going to find on the mainstream media ever. And certainly what Andy's saying, you don't read this stuff unless you go to sites like financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Andy, always a pleasure. We will catch up with you real soon.
Kerry, I wish you nothing but the best, brother, and I'm always here if you need me. Thanks for having me on.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.